So today I'm going to present on behalf of the strategy and an RTI team. And let me give you some background information, and this is my financial disclosure, about why we did the study. Stribuilt, which is a single tablet regimen that can be taken one pill once a day for HIV, it's only be approved right now for treatment-naive patients, which means they have to be, you know, have never taken anything before, and they can be on Stribuilt. Now, we have many patients who are currently on a non-nucleoside reverse transcriptase inhibitor, which I'm going to refer to as an NNRTI from now on. Now, one of the most prescribed NRTI is efavirenz. And we know that efavirenz can cause a neuropsychiatric side effects. And also, it has a very difficult scheduling. It can be taken at bedtime on an empty stomach. So the purpose of this study is to see whether we can safely switch patients on an NNRTI-containing regimen to Stribuilt or one tablet once a day. This is a multi-center prospective randomized open label, 96 weeks. I'm going to present to you a 48-week data. And to be eligible to be in the trial, the patients have to be on an NNRTI plus Truvada with undetectable viral load, meaning HIV RNA below 50 copies for at least 6 months. They can be on their first or second regimen. They must not have any prior virologic failure, or they might not have any evidence of resistance to the Truvada component of Stribuilt. And this is very important when you want to switch a patient on a stable regimen. And they must have an estimated GFR over 70, and this is consistent with the package insert of Stribuilt. The primary endpoint that we want to look at is we want to look at proportion of subjects who maintains undetectable below 50 copy at week 48. Secondary endpoint, we want to look at CD4 cell changes, safety, tolerability. We want to look at the patient's reported outcome, which is very important in the switch trial. So the study design, the patients were randomized 2-to-1 to either switch to Stribuilt or maintain on their current NNRTI regimen. And this is the reason why patients want to be in the study. First of all, they can actually pick more than one reason. You can see that about half of the patients just want to simplify their current regimen. And the term simplification here, it's actually very open up to the patients. They might want to reduce their pill burden. They might want to reduce the dosing frequency, or it can be simply just, you know, they want to get rid of the food requirement or something that has to be taken at bedtime. There, about 14% of patients were having side effects to their current regimen, and I want you to keep that number in mind, 14%. So these are the NNRTIs that the patients were taking at baseline. You can see that the majority of them, 78%, are on efavirenz. And if you look on the right, actually 95% of those efavirenz patients are already on one pill once a day of a tripla. This is a subject disposition. There are actually 291 patients that got randomized to the Stribuilt arm and 143 patients to the NNRTI arm. About 90% of patients finished the study at week 48. In terms of baseline characteristics, it's very similar between the two arms. Age about 40, white, male. The majority of patients, over 90%, are on the first regimen, and they have been on their first regimen for over 3 to 4 years. The estimate GFR at the bottom is about 110. This is the result at week 48 by a snapshot analysis. You can see that 93% of patients on Stribuilt and 88% of patients on the NNRTI remained undetectable below 50 copies. If you look on the right, you can see that the result actually favors a stride build. However, the difference of the lower bound of 95% confidence intervals does cross zero, so we can only claim that stride build is not inferior to NNRTI. There were no differences in CD4 changes that were shown below. Let's look at the virologic outcome at week 48, and just want you to focus in the gray area, patients with virologic failure. So there are two patients in the stride build arm and one patient in the NNRTI arm that had a viral load greater than 50 copies, and all three patients actually, they went suppressed at follow-up after that. So they are not really a true virologic failure. This shows you the analysis looking at the subgroups, and you can see that there are no differences whether you look at age, gender, ethnicity, whether they are efferents or non-efferents at baseline, or whether on a two or one drug regimen. But you can see that actually most results do favor stride build. This looks at the patient with treatment emergent resistance. There are one in each arm that had a viral load high enough that we could do resistance testing. And the good news is that there were no resistance in both arms. This shows you the adverse events about the same between the two arms. I want to focus on adverse event that led to discontinuation of the study drug. There are 2% in the stride build arm and 1% in the NNRTI arm. There are 6 cases in the stride build arm. One case was thought to be from proximal renal tubulopathy, which is a rare known side effect of stride build. The other case has just an isolated elevation in serum creatinine with other features of proximal renal tubulopathy, and that actually turned out to be he had an MI from a cocaine use. This shows you side effects that occurred more than 5% in each arm. There are 2 things. One is a headache, the other thing is nausea, that the difference between stride build and NNRTI is actually greater than 5%. So we're going to look into why they have headache and nausea. You can see that the onset and the duration of headache and nausea in stride build, which is shown in orange, it happens within the first 4 weeks, and they subside actually after week 8. So most of the headache and nausea are very transient, very mild. None of the subjects actually stop study drugs. This shows you the grade 3 to 4 lab abnormalities between the two arms, and there are no differences. This shows you the changes in serum creatinine on the left and estimated GFR on the right. You can see the patients on stride build has an increase of 0.12 in creatinine that led to a reduction of about 11 points of the GFR. And this is consistent with a known effect of cobicistat because it blocks the MET1 transporter in the kidneys. And this is, I think, important to actually advocate the providers and actually even patients. It is not really a true reduction in renal function. It just happened to be that cobicistat affect the marker for the kidney that we measure. This is a change from baseline lipids. You can see pretty much a minimal change in total cholesterol, LDL, and HDL when they switch to stride build. However, when you look at patients who were taking efferents or a triplet at baseline, there is a more reduction in total cholesterol, a reduction in LDL, and also some reduction in HDL when they switch from efferents to stride build. This is probably the most important slide in the deck. We've been talking about patients' adherence, And if you remember, at the beginning of the trial, only 14% of patients thought they were having side effects to the regimen that they were on. But when you look at the outcome at week 48, you can see the patients who are taking efavirenz, they see a remarkable significant reduction in side effects. When you look at vivid dreams, insomnia, anxiety, or dizziness, there is a significant reduction. We also look at the patient's quality of life outcome at week 24 after they switch to Strivil, and patients are more satisfied when they switch. So in conclusion, when we switch a patient on an NRTI to Strivil, they can maintain their viral suppression. Strivil are very well tolerated with a very low side effects. The discontinuation rate on Strivil is very low. There's some improvement in cholesterol. And most importantly, you can increase patient satisfaction. So, you know, you can increase patients' adherence to the regimen. And that's what we want for patients who are taking HIV drugs. I want to thank all the investigator, research staff, and more important, all our subjects who actually went through 96 weeks of study with us. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions. Yeah. Yes. Actually, do we have a data on Strivil, and it's in the Strivil package insert. Yep. And
so progesterone levels go up. Yeah, so the question around hormonal contraceptives and copacistat, so good question. It's actually in the package insert. Ethanol estradiol levels go down and progesterone goes up. So it's just something that we tell providers about to monitor that. But it's not a contraindication. So, no, I mean, the main culprit for the drug interaction issue is the cobicistat, and it's very similar to ritonavir as in terms of a PK booster, and we've been using ritonavir for 15, 20 years with, yeah, so, but good question.
Yeah, we have a long-term data for Strivil, I think up to week 196 weeks now. There are some resistance, but most of the resistance actually occur within the first 48 weeks. After week 48, there are very rare cases of resistance to Strivil.
It's always being looked at for sure, but we just don't see it with the integrase class like we do with other antiretroviral classes. So, yeah. Any other questions? We're a couple minutes over. Thank you again, Dr. Vanig.